Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you sleep at night, you dream yourself in so many situations and so many different bodies. Material existence entirely is like a dream, and the present bodies we have are dream bodies. The present situations we're in, they are dream situations. But we take the dream so seriously. We take the dream body and the dream situation so seriously. This is because of the power of Maya, which makes you feel like you have an intimate connection with the material energy. We've discussed before the Sanskrit word mamata, in which there's a sense of intimacy or even possession between the living entity and something or someone. That word mamata, in its perfect use, is there in the spiritual reality, where the living entity feels possessive in the relationship with Krishna. Krishna is my master, or Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my son, Krishna is my lover. In material existence, however, we have this false sense of possessiveness about the material energy. The power of Maya creates a false sense of intimacy with the material world. So think about this. When you feel some kind of close connection and coziness with the material energy, you should know this is complete illusion. But at the basis of that illusion is the reality of intimacy and possessiveness. That is, in Krishna's world, in Krishna's pastimes, how have we so tragically projected our intimacy and possessiveness into the material energy? Just like the sunlight is projected onto a pool of water and is reflected. So in our reflected material existence, which is a perverted reflection, we become so entangled and we take so seriously our material situation and our material desires. Indeed, we take those material desires as our life and soul. We'll even risk our life for our material desires. This is how powerful a sense of intimacy the illusory energy creates. This tragic situation happens because we allow the illusory energy into our head and our heart. We allow the illusory energy of the Lord to destroy our intelligence and to pervert the natural original feelings in our heart. So much so that we take those perverted feelings to be so significant. Oh, I'm feeling like this. Oh, I want this. I need this. All these artificial wants and needs are generated by the illusory energy in our heart. And because our intelligence is polluted, our head spins. We don't have any proper reference point, any proper foundation to adhere to mold our behavior to. In this way, we go crazy in material existence, taking the dream body and the dream situation to be for real, and even feeling intimacy with that hallucination. Think about your dreams at night. Would you like to remain in intimate connection with your dreams at night? No, you want to wake up. Similarly, the whole path of bhakti is to wake us up from the world of perverted feelings, perverted thinking, to the world of natural thinking and natural feeling. Deer race out into the desert looking for water. They can't see that. But if they would stay in the forest, right under their feet, perhaps covered by some grass, there's some water. Moths fly into the fire, attracted by the light. Where do we get this hell-bent tendency from? To destroy ourselves in pursuit of fulfillment in the desert. Now, we must point out, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be fulfilled. There's nothing wrong with wanting to feel complete. But we are looking in the wrong place for it. So how many times do we have to beat our head against the wall before we come to this understanding? That's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Bahunam janmanamante janabhamam prabhajate. After many births and deaths of trying to figure things out, someone who's actually intelligent will surrender to Krishna. This material world has a purpose. Its purpose is not to fulfill you. It's not to give you opportunity. The purpose of the material world is not to allow you success. The purpose of the illusory energy is to bewilder you. And we're so foolish, we think, oh, here I am in the material world. I shall be fulfilled. I'll do important things. I'll become important. When the only purpose of the material world is to bewilder you. This seems cruel to some people. Oh, it can't be so bad. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Draya, this material energy of mine is almost impossible to overcome. And Dukkhalayam Shashvatam, the material world is temporary and miserable. Anityam Asukam Lokam. Oh, this is exaggeration. I'll find something that'll make the struggle worthwhile. Because I'm so smart. Or I'm very attractive. Or I'm competent, if you ask me. I have some good abilities. Besides, I have a good heart. That's all it takes in this world. Have a good heart. Treat others nicely. And everything will work out. This is not a world for such programs. This is a world for baffling the plan makers, baffling committees, baffling governments, baffling philanthropic efforts. Everyone winds up baffled. And at the time of death, it's too late. You realize, what is the use? I'm being dragged away, and everyone is being dragged away by death. What's the point of so many temporary endeavors? Initiation means a chance to get out of this madness. But we're so attached. You combine the attachment with rebellion. No, Krishna, I'll do it my way. I know what I'm doing. I have education. Or I have good plans. I have some experience. I'm no fool. To execute bhakti yoga requires some humility. Humility just doesn't mean to, do pranams. Sometimes I have to stop devotees. Every time they, every moment they're doing dandavats. But if you ask them to do something or ask them to, or give them some direction, they can't do it. But dandavats all the time. Dandavatis. Humility actually means with your intelligence to accept Krishna's instructions. To deliberate on them. and assimilate them. With a false sense of humility, we'll not go far in bhakti. Certainly we want to be gentle, and certainly we want to be respectful. But all that will not be very deep unless it's backed by the humility of accepting Krishna's instructions. Krishna's instructions are the manual, operating manual that comes with the material world. But if we just toss out the manual and do with this world what we like, I've got a body, I've got a mind, I've got senses, I've got experience, I've got, even I may have some money, or good connections. People know that I'm a good person. They know they can rely on me. I have a cousin brother who, he began with the health department in Washington, D.C. as an administrator when he was 25, and he graduated with his master's degree in public health. And he retired when he was 55. He was offered a very good retirement package. So when he retired, he said, I can't believe I spent just 30 years doing this. I didn't feel fulfilled. I said, well, why did you come to this realization only 30 years later? Why didn't you, why didn't you make an adjustment long time ago? It's now 30 years have passed. He looked at me and said, you don't understand. Once you get your foot in, it's very hard to pull your foot out. Because the whole managemental world, corporate world, governmental world is such that they constantly make you feel that you are so important. You are the one. The whole department is depending on you. And you just get caught up in feeling you're so important and so crucial. People are depending on me. I'm making major effects in this world of birth and death. So he said, you don't understand. It's very hard once you put your foot into the quicksand to pull it out. They make you feel so important. And it's part of corporate psychology, management psychology. It's much cheaper to pay people with appreciation and respect and importance than it is to pay them with money. So they make a whole corporate culture around giving you recognition, making you feel important. He explained this to me. You are our go-to man. When no one else can do the job, we can rely on you. In other words, work overtime and do everyone else's work and feel good about being so important. You are our best bureaucrat, our best administrator. And at the yearly functions, you get a plaque, a gold watch, and you feel so good about yourself because you want your life to have meaning. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And making money too. So he explained that because of this network of appreciation and feeling like you're making an impact, you can't extract yourself. So 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30 years go by. This is a good example of the nature of material existence. How do you get your foot out? When you want so badly to be appreciated, you want to make an impact, you want to feel good about yourself. Look what I've done. I've helped so many people in the world of birth and death. At the bottom of all this desire to help others actually is rebellion. We don't want to do it Krishna's way. We'll do it our way. We'll show Krishna. We can sort this world out. We can sort ourselves out. So initiation means you've realized that rejecting Krishna's instructions doesn't pay. the job of the police department is to make you understand that crime doesn't pay. So the job of Illusory Energy, Krishna's police department, is to make you understand that rebellion doesn't pay. Your life will go peaceful and fulfilled only when you accept Krishna's instructions. So, initiation means you're formally enrolling in the Bhakti Academy and accepting Krishna's instructions. Krishna's instructions are not fanatical. They are the greatest wisdom, the greatest science. But because of our deranged mind and perverted emotions, we imagine Krishna's instructions to be very difficult, to not apply in all circumstances. And anyway, we've got to sort ourselves out our own way. But who is sorted out? Who is able to adjust the world? The purpose of the material energy is to make you understand through bitter experience that you can't do things your way. Our entrance into Krishna's instructions is fueled by the holy name of Krishna. The holy name of Krishna brings to life the bhakti reality. When your tongue touches the holy name of Krishna, the Krishna world comes to life before your eyes. So our main endeavor is how to chant Krishna's name with attention. For that we need a whole culture, a whole society to help us with this lifelong ambition. Just like in material existence, it is said it takes a village to raise a child. Raising a child is more than just the parent's affair, because the child needs a world around him or her, a little neighborhood where ideally the elders throughout the neighborhood help in raising the child. Of course, things are different these days. There's no more extended family. Families are separated, so the child doesn't have aunties and uncles and grandparents close at hand. But to speak of a neighborhood of neighbors who share common values. When I was a little child growing up in New York City, the neighborhood was like that. If I would do something wrong, immediately the neighbors would come and tell my mother, and my mother would just accept their word for it, not even listen to me. And she would do the same for other neighbors' children. I remember once as a 6-year-old boy, my brother was 4 and a half, we decided Christmas time to go to all the neighborhood houses and unscrew the Christmas bulbs that decorated their houses and smash them on the ground. It was great fun. Unscrew, multicolored glass particles on the ground. Of course, the neighbors figured out who it was and they reported to Mother, and we were appropriately chastised. The sore bottom. So that example is meant to help you see that, yes, in the perfect sense of raising someone, you need a society. If for our entrance into the holy name, we need others. We need a whole culture, a whole world of Krishna Sangha. It is difficult on our own, just like it's difficult on one's own to raise a child. Single mothers who go to the sperm bank because they can't find a husband, or they don't want a husband, but they want a child and they want to taste the experience of motherhood so desperately, they go to the sperm bank and they become impregnated, and they have a child. But then they always say, All right, my motherly desires are fulfilled, but it's so difficult just doing this all myself. I got to work, I got to take care of the child, this, that, the other. And as the years go by, they realize that raising a child does require a mother and a father. We're taking it further, that raising a child requires mother, father, and a whole neighborhood. Well, similarly, to be a good spiritual child so that you get entrance into the holy name requires a village, a neighborhood. The Society of Devotees inspires the practitioner to take the Hare Krishna mantra seriously and to actually make the Hare Krishna mantra your life and soul. Initiation means entrance into that reality. And therefore, if we take advantage of the Krishna Sangha, we can work on minimizing the offenses to the holy name. The more we try to hear the holy name through kirtan, through japa, the more our crazy tendencies for perverted feeling and perverted thinking will fade away. It's a lifetime career. It's not just something you do for a few years. As we approach Gaur Purnima, we can meditate upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who demonstrated the Yuga Dharma, achieving spiritual perfection by chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing in ecstasy. This is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are following the spiritual path as demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave us the main anxiety in life. What is the main anxiety in life? Not that I don't have enough money, I don't have good health, I don't have this, I don't have that. No, the main anxiety in life for the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Durdaivam Idrisa Mahajani Na Nuraga. I'm so unfortunate. I have no raga, no attraction for the holy name of Krishna. Simply by the Hare Krishna mantra, you can achieve the height of spiritual realization. Because we have deity worship also, which is meant to help us chant the holy name of Krishna with attention, we give second initiation. But let us be clear that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you can get the height of spiritual attainment. The second initiation is for worshipping the deity, demonstrating Brahmana qualities and Brahmana activities. It's not a status symbol to take second initiation. It's about demonstrating Brahmana activities. Second initiation is not like a stripe on your sleeve, like a soldier, you know, gets stripes as the years go by. No. Someone taking Brahmana initiation should evidence the Brahmana qualities and worshipping the deity, teaching others to worship the deity, studying the Shastra, teaching others the Shastra, giving and receiving charity. These are the six main activities of a Brahmana. Without proper attention to the holy name of Krishna, second initiation actually has little value. You can't fool Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I have second initiation, so I'm advanced, or I'm doing okay. Now, Krishna always wants to see how you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So as we approach Gaur Purnima, let us increase our meditation on the greatest gift, the greatest charity Lord Chaitanya is giving us, the holy name of Krishna.